This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. China has, as you've heard here and elsewhere, a brutal problem with air pollution, not unlike we did 50 years ago. The world's second biggest economy, that would be them, also has the fastest growing consumer class on the planet, not unlike we did 50 years ago. So today for our series, We Used to Be China, Marketplace's Rob Schmitz finds out what happens when millions of new consumers get angry about the state of their environment. Call it Not In My Backyard, Chinese style.
Chengdu, the capital of Sichuan province, is home to a thriving tea house culture. But there's more than tea brewing here. The tradition of chatting away the day with friends has for centuries made it easier for folks here to gossip and talk about politics and current events. Lately, the talk has been about air pollution.
There are more people and more cars and more industry. The pollution is bad for all of us. We all have lungs. The government needs to do something about it.
But Wu Youchang, who drinks tea with her family, isn't hopeful. In the past year, one of the most notorious projects in the history of China's oil industry began operation outside the city. It's a $6 billion petrochemical plant run by China's largest oil company.
The people here didn't want the plant built, but they built it anyway. It's going to harm everyone's health. It's something people should protest.
The people of Chengdu tried. Last year, many here among the city's 14 million residents planned a weekend public demonstration to protest the plant. When the local government found out, police detained organizers, sent out text messages warning people to stay inside, and the government required people to work on the Saturday of the protest, forcing high school and university students to remain in class through the weekend. Officials are still paranoid. Within minutes of arriving in Chengdu, I call a source who had agreed to talk with me about how the pollution affects her family. She abruptly cancels our interview. She's being interrogated by police officers who had intercepted our emails and text messages. The next day, I hire a driver to take me to Pengzhou, the site of the petrochemical plant, a refinery that's as large as the city. In a small village in the plant's shadow, I stop to talk to a farmer.
My home was destroyed for the plant last August. The sky here is always polluted now. The plant has had a huge impact on our health.
Before I can get her name, a man pulls up beside me on a motorcycle and asks me what I'm doing. He glares at the woman. She dashes off. I tell him I'm a journalist and I'm talking to people about pollution. There's no pollution here, he says. Before I can ask him his name, he makes a call in his cell phone. A minute later, a group of thugs show up.
Wow.
I hop in the car and we drive to another location and begin talking with people, but the men catch up to us and continue the intimidation campaign.
We are now being followed by at least two cars full of big men who are driving very close to us and now taking pictures of our license plate through their window. And now they're more or less chasing us out of town.
Back safely in Chengdu, I speak with Jin Lei and Guo Xiaohong, a husband and wife who are concerned about the plant.
A lot of people are concerned about the plant, but people are no longer willing to do anything about it. They don't think they can change the situation.
Jean and Guo's two daughters are playing in their living room. A couple of years ago, when the pollution in Chengdu was particularly bad, the couple had to bring both girls to the ER several times for breathing problems.
The pollution that year was just as bad as Beijing's. I used to train for triathlons, but I've stopped that because my bronchitis was so bad.
Back in 2005, when Jean and Guo were studying at elite schools in Beijing, they were among a group of students permitted to attend a talk by Al Gore. He was visiting Beijing to talk about his documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. After the talk, officials allowed only one question from students. Jean raised his hand, and Gore called on him.
I asked Mr. Gore, what can we as normal people do to help China's environment? He said, you are the representatives of China's young generation, and you must have faith that things can change. If you don't have faith, then future generations will have less faith.
Jean and Guo have now applied this message to how they live in Chengdu. The couple uses reclaimed water to help grow their urban garden, and they've taught their daughters to use bathwater to help flush the toilet.
Whatever mandate the government hands down that will help protect our environment, we will support it 100%. As a country, we must work together. Otherwise, we'll all pay the price.
We must have faith, he says, echoing what Al Gore told him, that things can change. But sometimes in China, it's hard to keep that faith. Just 2 hours after I leave Jean and Guo's home, the police show up to intimidate them, too. In Chengdu, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Coming up tomorrow on We Used to Be China, we go back to the days of acid rain. You remember that? And I'll tell you what, if you haven't already, send us pictures of your city's air, would you? Your blue sky, your gray sky, whatever you got. You can post them at Instagram with the hashtag MarketplaceSmogCheck.